10 hot internet soldiers. Stop everything you're doing.
Stop.
The podcast has just officially started.
Stop. Everyone out there, stop.
I'm so ready to get going.
Hey, if you're having a conversation, shut the fuck up.
Everyone in the chat, if you're talking in our chat.
Fucking live.
I see the chat moving.
If you're talking in the chat, you're obviously not watching our show.
Cut it.
I don't know who runs Twitch. Ban anyone who has spoken tonight.
Yeah.
Because I ain't going to tolerate it. Maybe Sean did on his watch. He's not here.
Cut. We are checking the gears, making sure everybody's up to snuff. This is the Internet Soldier Army of Mega 64 fans. And a lot of you have been skating by, not doing your due diligence, not doing your duties. As a fan, as a soldier, grunt. So today, we're whipping you into shape.
Yes, sir.
That's right. We're kicking your ass. No more whining. No more bitching. That's not what a true fan would do.
Nope.
Start acting like a true fan or else get the fuck out of here.
I only want to see sir and yes, sir in that chat, and I see a lot of other shit. And that kind of shit don't fly
YouTube
in this army.
YouTube comments, too. All the YouTube comments better be, you know, fully.
Well, that's what I was going to speak to. Yeah. Really, any criticism is not acceptable.
Yeah.
So I want to see from now on comments. If we put out a new video, the comments better be good, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey.
That's right.
Because if there's anything else, I'm sorry. You're there's no reason.
Treat us like you would treat America. Mm-hmm. Okay. My country, right or wrong. Mega 64, right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I say 2 plus 2 equals 5, you say...
How high?
You say how high, then you take your calculator and you break it in half!
Yep.
We don't need to lead from example, okay? You just do what we say and it'll all work out.
I need you to back me up no matter what I say. Crazy girlfriend style, okay? Yep. If I'm fucking pissed off at Walmart because the woman in front of me... We're speaking Spanish?
Yep.
We're getting fucking ice involved.
You're getting in a fist fight tonight, honey. That's what that means.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think I went off script a little bit there.
I don't know what that was.
I feel you, though.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Theme song.
Hello. I just want to say, some people last week, we asked for a new theme song.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
We asked for a new theme song, and we kind of gave the people some material for it. Apparently, we had a lot of good remixes this week. We did not have time to we didn't review them before.
I already know the one I'm putting in. Kira or whatever did a really badass one, so I'm already saying that's the one that's this week's. That was my favorite one.
I listened to a few of them on the Reddit. It said good stuff.
There you go.
Well, I think we should... review them together and make an empirical decision.
Oh, that's right.
Well, he said Kira.
We all have the ball loaded.
There could be one that's electronic. There could be a straight acoustic. You know, I don't know what direction is right. And I think we need to do what's right.
Okay.
Hmm.
So.
Are we doing that now?
Play the theme song. Here it is. All right, welcome back, everybody. That was the one we decided on.
Okay.
That first one is some weird thing.
Oh, okay.
You're saying privately we'll make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say congrats to what we just heard, whoever that was.
What if it's the same one twice?
We don't know what it is.
I don't know the future.
Maybe the Aquabats won.
So what you already saw is the song we're going to pick later. Yeah. And to that one, I want to say congratulations. You were so good. You made all the other entries sound like trash.
Mm. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, production levels were up there.
You embarrassed them.
High quality.
You fucking did them. You wrecked them.
So there you go. So thank you. Good night. Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought it was the future. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Sean, let's just start off with the hard stuff.
Elephant in the room. Let's get it off. Let's get it out of the way.
Like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
Every year there is a time that is dark for America. Every September we remember something dark that happens in America. That is the only thing I could be talking about.
The day that will live in infamy.
The dreaded...
Forever.
Never forget it.
The birthday stretch.
The only thing we have to fear.
Is right. The birthday stretch.
The birthday stretch. It happens every September where Sean... I actually am not totally clear whose birthdays are in September.
All.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like every kid Sean has ever taken care of.
The whole tribe.
All right. I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Sean isn't here right now because September is... And these are his words. Fucked up. For him. September is fucked up for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that's what he said. There are so many birthday celebrations that he has to attend.
Oh, plan.
Yeah.
One of them.
Participated.
One of them / I'm not clear. Two or three of them fall off.
I don't know. I think everyone that's ever been born that he's known.
Yeah.
It's
like a vernal equinox tonight where evil can fall upon this land if he doesn't celebrate all three birthdays.
There's a birthday
together.
Party happening at Sean's house right now. I was told there were 70 guests.
Oh, fuck.
And, yeah. And I, when he told me that, I just thought, like, I don't even know 70 people in my life that I could invite to my own birthday.
I can't have that traffic on my street.
He's told me in the past. Parking. He's told me in the past about ones even bigger than that. Where there's like 100 plus.
What?
Kids.
Kids and adults. And I am just like, I don't know how that can exist.
You have to get like event insurance at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. That's insane. And
charge a cover. And this, he could be making money. Yeah, he's more than
he
like
should.
The hottest club in East County, San Diego.
$5 a cup, kids.
This happens every September, and you'll see him at points in his life that you've never seen a person.
He looks like a broken soul sometimes.
Yes.
You know, like, we'll come into work Monday morning, fresh as a daisy from the weekend.
Yeah.
Sit down. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Sean, how you doing?
Just wet hair.
What?
No skin.
I'm doing fine. Why do you ask? And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know why I asked. I honestly...
Guess I shouldn't have asked.
Wish I didn't.
That's like Clint Eastwood walking into a new town. Sean's a man with no name.
So,
man
yeah,
with
exactly.
too many birthdays.
So that so that's why I always try to sympathize, you know, and reach out to... Wait, I'm
he
sorry.
Is like Clint Eastwood level cryptic. Like, he might just pull a gun. Like, if you say the wrong thing, he'd be like, maybe I should get three coffins today. Okay, I'm sorry.
But like I said, it's important to be empathetic, though, because we... Wait, I'm sorry. Who's editing the podcast this week? You're going to edit?
Yeah.
So, you're going to edit for him?
Yeah.
Okay, I can say whatever I want. Woke up today at noon, played Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Cooked some bacon while I watched Attack on Titan. Then I went back to Spider-Man. So, don't tell me about who has it hard, Sean.
Sounds relaxing.
All you ate was bacon.
Yeah.
Well, you just said he made bacon at some point.
Hey,
you didn't say that's all he ate.
That's a good fucking Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the day of rest. It's
true.
The day of bacon.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. It's Sunday.
It's
Sunday morning.
Bro.
Well, afternoon.
It's
Sunday. And you want. Actually, you know why I did that?
Why? Because
somebody else near me, like a neighbor,
smelled it.
You could tell they cooked.
Oh, bacon's good.
And it was like, I got to make this happen.
Airborne.
So. I did bacon on Saturday. See, I skipped ahead.
Bacon.
Well, we're supposed to coordinate.
Fuck.
We could have done one big bacon cook-off.
The whole smell up the city.
Do you cook with... Cooking question.
All right. Now we're talking cooking.
Frank, do an awesome, like, elaborate, crazy After Effects
I want
intro.
You floating in, like... Gordon Ramsay yelling at somebody.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri.
Super
Bobby Flay. Chef Ann.
Cat Cora.
Yeah. Okay, Ann.
Right there.
We're back. Yeah.
Boom.
Thanks. Anyway, this is a cooking segment. Do you use bacon grease to cook shit?
No!
Dude.
I don't because it's bad for the arteries, you know? But it tastes good.
Sure, tastes but... good. You know, but at least you know it tastes good.
Is that a new...
I'm not saying it's good for you.
That's old school.
Yeah, that is old. Like, that's like lard and bacon grease.
Okay,
pretty
well,
old school.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Let's talk cooking.
I do butter.
If you want to cook a good meal, you're going to have to throw some protein-based fat in there.
You gotta.
You can do bacon grease. You can do butter. You can even do some sort of oil, which is not protein-based, but you got your fats in there. You're going to need something to cook it.
Yep.
So you're either doing one or the other. I'm a butter man myself.
Yeah, me too.
Just like Garrett.
Yeah, butter all the way.
Oh,
lots
yeah, butter.
Of it, though.
Oh, no, butter's great. My grandma used to, she was the best cook, would cook the best stuff, the tastiest stuff. And I realized her secret is, like, when she'd cook bacon, she would save the grease.
Oh, fuck. It,
like, she had, like, this metal container. Yeah. And would use that, and you'd never had better.
Okay,
shit.
But I mean, all right, here's the thing.
It probably took years off
I
my
got,
life, but
okay,
it tasted
okay, here's
good.
The thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of people save the bacon grease. I don't.
Sure.
So here's my problem, because I actually cook a lot of bacon.
Yeah.
Where the fuck do I put the grease when it's done?
Hey, I have that metal container,
you
but it's...
You can't pour it down the sink,
no,
because it'll
can't.
Gum up the sewer.
Now, I have heard, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I have heard, you shouldn't pour it down into the sewer. I've heard that's more of an issue on, like, the East Coast, because... Because
so many fat fucks eat bacon over there.
It's cold,
nonstop.
Too.
You said it, not me. No, no, because of the cold weather that they'll get versus the...
It'll freeze it.
It actually, like, freezes up, and when that happens, it expands or something, and it will snap the pipes.
Yeah, it's real bad for the pipes.
Yeah, but either way, it's not good, even if you're over here.
So what
in
I do is, I this is so dumb. I have a point to this. It gets funny at some point. I would put tinfoil into a bowl and put it in there, and when it get hard, I'd throw it away. But I felt like I'm throwing tinfoil bombs of fat away in the dump. That can't be good for the environment. So I thought, I'll be sneaky. I'll just find some place and dump it out.
Yeah.
So for a while, for like a couple of months, I would make bacon. And then in the mornings, and for whatever reason, I was really embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to see me doing this.
Well, it's just not flattering.
Yeah, I would like sneak out of my house with this pan of hot grease, and I would look around, make sure nobody's watching, and I'd like go into the alleyway, into like a corner, and I'd like dump it on the ground, and then like run back to my house.
Wait, but, in the alley?
Yeah, because I live next door.
Yeah.
And I noticed after a few weeks, this giant dark stain was expanding across the alley.
Because
I was just dumping bacon grease there every day.
I was pouring it down gopher holes.
Really?
Yeah,
it doesn't make a stain. It goes away.
I heard a lot of people, and there was a consensus on the internet. People were like, yo, just find a spot and dump it. Like, I live across the street from the woods, so I just walk across the street dumping in the trees. So that's what I started doing, but...
I'm definitely with you where, I cook the bacon in its own grease,
but
then when I'm done, I put it in a can to save, not to save it, but so I can dispose of
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I put that can, when it's full, in the freezer, then when it's frozen, Ziploc it and throw it out in the trash when I'm taking the trash out, the same day.
Yeah, I wait for mine to cool, and then I just put it in the,
But
I stopped
there was a
dumping
point.
It in the alleyway because of the giant stain.
There was a point where I thought,
like
let me just see what happens, and I started pouring it, down gopher holes, and then I kind of realized, like, I live here, though. Like, I'm not moving out in a couple of years. I should probably not do that.
Somebody in the chat said, Derek just dumps in the movie theater. That's not cool. That's not cool.
I take it with me.
Are you greasing up yet?
In the movie theater.
You making a lot of greasy food in the kitchen?
I do peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, bagels with cream cheese.
Top ramens.
That.
You can pour that down the sink.
Frank, you're right on the cusp of... So, I'm just a few years older than you, and it was right around... You're coming up on the big shift for me.
Yeah.
Because a few years ago, I was completely disposable everything.
Yeah.
Paper plates, plastic forks and knives, plastic cups, no dishes, and just takeout nonstop. But I've decided to be more – reduce my footprint on the earth.
Yeah.
So now I cook and clean like a normal human being. But I really like the lazy route of just like one time use, everything in the garbage. I ain't doing a dish ever.
Well, for
there's
me,
something to paper plates.
But now I'm like more socially aware. So
for me, the transition was when I first moved out. Was I remember being at like I was at a store on Main Street in Disneyland, and I was like, "Oh shit! I can buy all these cool plates."
Yeah.
Like, they have plates with old poster artwork on
them. And then you can enjoy eating them.
When I lived at home, I was like, nobody's going to want these plates in our kitchen. And what am I going to do, put them in my room? And then when I moved out, I was like, I can use some cool fucking plates. So I got those. I never even had, when I moved out, I never had paper plates or
when
any
you
of that
were,
shit.
Let me ask you guys something, going back to childhood. Did you have a favorite plate when you were a kid? Like, the plate where you told your mom, like, Mom! I'm extra hungry. This is a special meal. Put it on the plate.
Yeah.
For me, it was a fucking Batman Returns. Yes. It was a plate from Batman Returns. And I still remember, you might want to get a wide shot of this. It was like a picture of Batman like this.
Yeah.
This cape all on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. You. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plastic plate?
Yeah, it was plastic plate. Yeah. I loved that Batman plate.
For me, it was more of a cup. I have a memory of like a big ass plastic cup.
For me, it was there. I had a special glass and a special bowl. I can't think of a plate. But what was yours?
A cup, like a plastic, like soda.
Was there a certain thing on it?
No, it was just a cup. It was green. It was like, oh, green. That's my green cup. Yeah, it was the color for whatever.
For me, it was when it was a special drink or a really cool like, honestly, back when I was a kid, we didn't have soda very often.
Yeah.
And so when we had it, it was like, ooh, I'm going to put it with ice in a cup. And they were the Batman Forever mugs that you got at McDonald's.
Oh, shit. Nice. McDonald's
had those custom glass Batman mugs. If anybody out there, Google it. They were legit.
I remember those.
They were cool. And so it was like they were sculpted with Batman coming out of them or Two-Face.
Fast food. Those were cool. Fast food used to have a lot of movie tie-ins that were actually like,
Burger King.
I want that.
Yeah.
I have some Jedi, Return of the Jedi glasses from Burger King.
Burger King has legit shit. I mean, not good food. But. No.
when the Star Wars Special Editions came out, Taco Bell had these toys. I still have some of those.
Yep.
Like the Boba Fett that balances on his chin or the Infinity Cube that with all the posters on it. Like, that was some good
There's
shit.
There's another, like, glass cube where if you looked at it from one side, it was Yoda, and the other side was, like,
Darth Vader. Had a mirror down the middle. Yes,
I had so many of those Taco Bell toys.
Those Taco Bell Star Wars. Hey, I want to go on record and say those Taco Bell Star Wars toys, best fast food toys of all time. Close call against 1992 McDonald's Batman the Animated Series toys.
Oh.
For me, those two series of fast food toys I kept for like my whole childhood.
Well, you know what's funny about that with the Batman McDonald's thing
is
I remember collecting. I was feverish about when they did Batman Returns. McDonald's had all the toys for Batman Returns. They had Danny DeVito Penguin in his like duck car thing. They had all stuff from that movie. And it's funny because I was obsessed with that movie. I love that movie. And I remember reading articles around that time going, has McDonald's watched this movie? Like these horrible figures of Danny DeVito's Penguin and like what he does in that movie. And like, did they watch it? This seems maybe a little inappropriate. And I remember thinking as a kid, like, what the hell are you talking about? And I watched that movie now and I'm like, wow, there were a lot of
innuendos.
That movie pushed its rating like a lot.
Any interaction with the penguin between Catwoman, like, I mean, pussy is every single line.
Every word.
The 90s, I feel like, personally.
NWA, dude.
I feel like it was kind of the death of conservative values, and it was interesting to...
Definitely a pushback, for sure.
Well, like, I remember people would talk about how The Simpsons was like the worst show of all time. And as a kid, I loved it, and I was like, I didn't really understand the controversy, but now I look back and I see it was like, oh, it was all these like conservative values on television, and then you have something like that, or you have something like Batman Returns, and it just blows people's minds.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it seems so tame, Batman Returns and the early episodes of The Simpsons, but back then, it was like, how could they do this?
But you know what? I will say this, though. You know what, though? I know some things have changed.
Yeah.
But I still think there's stuff in Batman Returns they actually would not do in a movie like that now. In terms of, like, PG-13 superhero movie.
Yeah.
He breaks someone's nose and there's gallons of blood.
Well, it's funny.
There's just stuff in it that's still
so I talk about how I just said the 90s, in my opinion, is kind of the death of conservative values. And that stuff seems so tame by today's standards. But at the same time, it was fucking gonzo. Because I remember 92, 93, 94. I felt like I was a kid, but everything I was watching, all the bad guys had like Uzis.
Yeah. And dude, it was
like,
rated R.
It would just be like, fucking waste this dude. And they just like shoot him.
I mean,
No. And that's like everything I was watching.
Dude, Batman does that in the first Tim Burton and in Returns. In the first Tim Burton Batman, the Joker is at the head of this parade over there, and he flies the Batwing over going over the crowd.
Yeah.
And in Batman Returns, I mean, he just plows through, like, the dudes are like, oh, it's a fire juggler. Oh, it's a, and he plows through them and they crash into a storefront. Like, he kills crowds of people.
Yeah.
There was just no stigma around that. It was like, this is movie bullshit.
And even back action, then, too, you know? Like, the good guys, the cops, you know, they would just shoot the bad guys. Like, there he is! Freeze! Boom! And it's like, I'm a kid being like, yeah, they got it.
Hey, cool. The original, I was just thinking about this the other day, the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in 89, I think is when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Shredder falls off a building, lands in the garbage truck.
Freaked me out.
Casey Jones is standing there and goes, whoops!
And kills
him to death.
Murders him.
Dude. Here's the thing. Whoops. And a guy's body goes,
and that's the good guy.
A good guy goes, whoops, and murders someone.
Horribly.
Jury and executioner.
But again, it's like public consciousness for that stuff is kind of cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, and at that time, I was like, that was badass.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. No, goodbye,
and now today, you know? Sony Pictures has to issue an apology because of a movie starring a bunny rabbit has a joke about food allergies, and they had to, like, issue an apology.
What?
Yeah.
That happened
like earlier this year. There's some movie called like Peter Rabbit, and in it there's a rabbit who has like a food allergy, and they throw like food at him or like peanuts at him.
Oh, that's insensitive.
Yeah, and then like parents groups like had to like threw a fit, and they had to issue an apology. And so, I'm so sorry, we released something so careless in the audience. We'll never have to deal with
that. Though I think there was
Peter Rabbit could kill someone.
I do remember that, and I think there was more to it than that in terms of I can't remember. I wish I could. But I just remember when I read about it, I expected to laugh more than I did. And then when I was done reading it, I was like, oh, I see why they...
Oh, I sighed with the food allergies.
No, it was just... I just remember thinking...
Recently... Well, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the same vein, The Incredibles 2 this year had to apologize for epilepsy and
seizures. Oh, shit.
We're still doing that?
And it was just like, what, was something flashing in it? And then, man, I saw that movie and I was like, why did they leave that in? It was like... It's like, no one said anything about that. I remember.
It's one of those things where, like, you almost start freaking out.
Yeah, and I'm not affected by that stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what were you thinking?
I remember after Sean saw it, he was like, hey, I don't care about that stuff normally, but I can't believe that got through. That was so like, oh, stop. But, you know, anyway.
I was watching, I was on YouTube just going down the rabbit hole, weird stuff, and I found this old clip from the 90s of the Jenny Jones show.
I remember the Jenny Jones
show. Definitely.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the Jenny Jones show. Yeah. I kind of have talked to you guys about, like, oh, all this stuff. But the episode was about, like, these punk rock people need a makeover because they are too freaky. And they bring in these people. What was so funny about this clip, it was probably from, like, 1995 or 1996.
Yeah.
All of the freaks that they brought in look fucking cool.
Like,
today's standards.
90s Californian
it's
people.
It's like a chick. She's got red hair. It's dreadlocks. She's got a leopard print skirt on. She's got like fishnet stockings.
She looks like a rock band character.
Like, she's got like chains and stuff. And they're like, why do you dress like this? She's like, I don't know. I want to express my personality. I don't want to conform. And they're like, what do your neighbors think? And they're like, my neighbors are afraid to talk to me because they think I'm scary. And it's like, we're going to give you a makeover. And they make her over to look like fucking Monica Lewinsky. Like, little French beret in a pink dress. And it was so funny to me how, like, Yeah, her own personality is what's still relevant 20, 30 years later, and your fashion of the moment, like, we're going to make them fit in, is so fucking gross.
It's like Businesswoman Thursday.
Yeah, and exactly. And I feel like it still represents everything we're talking about of this weird era of, like, yeah the conservative, that versus, whoops!
Yeah.
Anyways, Jenny Jones. Check out Jenny Jones.
Yeah, check out Jenny Jones Show every Thursday on your local channel.
She had a look.
Right after Ricky Lake.
Them glasses.
Right after You Are Not the Father.
Maury's still good.
Maury's still going. Yeah, he's still doing it.
Still on. Still not the father.
I mean, they created that viral celebrity like a few years ago, the Cash Me Outside chick. Was that off of Maury?
No, that was Dr. Phil.
That's Phil.
Jesus, too many, more than one show.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil was just played with Good Charlotte on his show the other day.
What?
And tweeted himself in the same makeup as them, like eyeliner and like fake tattoos. And he's going like this on stage with them. And he tweeted, about to rock this bitch.
What the fuck is happening?
I'm not joking.
I retweeted it.
I promise it was real.
Good Charlotte.
I'm going to get dark with it here.
Okay.
Did you see? Nobody talked about this. This cracked me up. What the NRA said about Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yeah, what the fuck was
that? Wait, no way. I didn't hear about this.
I just saw images, but I don't
know. Thomas the Tank Engine. It's been a TV show for like 20-something years on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It's been a book series even longer.
Japan loves
Thomas,
For the first time ever.
I remember watching Thomas. Oh, sorry. I just want to say, bring it on. I remember watching Thomas as a kid. I think it started as a British TV show, I thought. But,
yeah, probably.
I remember watching episodes back in the day that Ringo hosted.
The characters are... Yeah, I think there was a cartoon or something.
Well, it's all kind of... Not stop motion, but it was like toys talking.
Toy trains, yeah.
And there was a point where it was hosted by Ringo for a little bit. And for a small period of time, George Carlin.
Yeah, he was a conductor.
Well, Shining Time Station was
Blah, blah, blah! Yeah. Thomas the Tank Engine just introduced for the first time ever a train from Kenya. He's a Kenyan train. So the NRA was... I don't know what the joke was. Tweeted out pictures of the trains wearing KKK hoods. I don't know what joke was.
Yeah, it was seriously like, I was trying to discern, like, why did they do that? What was the bit? But I couldn't, in the time that I had, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, but Nickelodeon children's show, and just somebody over there is having a lot of fun on Photoshop. And I just...
What's the relevance to...
I came across that while I was reading some other article, and I just feel like nobody's talking about... No, like, nobody posted about that or anything?
I saw some stuff.
I didn't see anything about it. I didn't share it until just
I kept seeing articles over the past month that, like, NRA TV wasn't doing too good. And then I saw that, and I was like, man, I wonder why they're just...
No, I heard...
The ratings are going down.
I heard they're, like, losing money, having problems, and the people who used to talk a lot about, you know, supporting NRA have all kind
of,
like...
failed, yeah.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot
like,
of sponsors.
Like, all right, these guys maybe aren't the best club.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I call a non sequitur. I got a good laugh out of that one. What else?
Okay, so I didn't... Right before I got here, I was about to...
Playing Spider-Man?
I was in Spider-Man.
Ooh.
And I have the last boss in front of me, and I had to pause it to come here. So I'm at the threshold of beating it. But I'm just going to talk like I have, because all I have to do is go, pss, 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 pss. All right, I beat the game. But that was by
game
far my favorite game this year. Man, I had such a good time.
Yeah, favorite this year.
Favorite this year, and by far my favorite game ever based on like a superhero or a whatever. Okay. I think that is number one. I really like the Batman games.
Your previous number one?
Probably Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum?
I think that would be,
my favorite superhero game.
I enjoyed the two, you know, like kind of that trilogy. You know, they did like three big bad. Actually,
I only like the first one, personally.
The first one was my favorite. I did have a lot of fun with Arkham City. And, you know, I will say Arkham Knight kind of threw shit at me that wasn't maybe my cup of tea. But I still enjoyed it. But Arkham Asylum was my favorite. And then I would, before, I would have said that. And then after that, somewhere, I would have put probably that Wolverine game.
Yeah, the GameCube one.
Now, Spider-Man.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a fun game. But
you played
now,
that, right, Brent?
I bought it and played it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting Spider-Man at the top of that list.
Really?
I can't believe how, it's so weird. I was talking to my brother about it, and he was like, did it uncover memories for you? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, you and I talking about me and my brother as kids.
Yeah.
He's like, do you remember how much we liked Spider-Man? Like, when that 90s cartoon came out, we had all the toys. We had to like, ooh, I found Mysterio. Oh, I found the Chameleon. Oh, I found, you know, we had all the toys, and we were so into the Spider-Man
universe.
You forgot
about all the stuff you were familiar with.
Well, I just think that over time, I left that all behind with, like, you know, I honestly, I didn't hate the like, the first movies that came out.
Yeah.
I didn't hate them, but they never really, I just never loved them, you know? And then the movies that came out after that, I hated, and I didn't really like the most recent one, and I just feel like over time...
So this game maybe rekindled something?
Yeah, this game, it's like, oh shit, I loved Spider-Man, like I forgot about all this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like I had all that buried, and now I'm like, it put me in such a Spider-Man, like, fucking kick.
Really?
Like, yeah, I had so much fun playing it. Now I want to go visit Tommy again, Mr. Tallarico. I want to go to a Spider-Man room.
Oh, yeah. I forgot how obsessed he is.
Revisit the magic. You know
what?
That's like his number
one. I want to put a question out to the chat now that Rocco is ready to revisit Spider-Man. Because I'm sitting here listening to you say this, and I like comics, you know? And
yeah.
I know Frank Miller wrote a Spider-Man comic.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's kind of hard to track down from what I understand.
Really?
I never read it, actually, and I don't hear much about it.
Hmm.
But, you know, like, Frank Miller wrote for Batman, and people were like, those are the best Batman comics
yeah.
ever. He wrote for Daredevil, people were like, those are the best Daredevil
yeah,
comics
I've heard
ever.
All that.
I don't actually know. I don't think anybody's ever told me what is the best, like, hey, you want to read fucking Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Read
yeah.
this.
I've heard.
What's the best Spider-Man story out there? Chat, email
yeah,
us.
I actually do want to know.
What is the one Spider-Man book to read if you could only read one? What were you going to say?
My favorite comics team is Ed Brubaker and Phillips. They just did a book called Kill or Be Killed, and they said that was very much influenced by 70s Spider-Man.
Okay,
so I don't know any specific book, but apparently Spider-Man in the 70s was great, which would make sense because 70s New York is so crusty, like
yeah.
taxi driver. So I want to know, just the Spider-Man comics in the 70s, is it fucking crusty like that? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
but
a
I would like
question.
To know what's like.
I imagine he'd be busting like pimps and
yeah,
saving,
right?
you know,
that'd
like.
Be so sick.
I can tell you what when I was younger, I loved all the shit with the symbiotes, like Venom
oh,
and
yeah.
Carnage.
Oh, that
and I do remember the Maximum Carnage, like.
The game?
Era, well, the game, too.
Yeah.
But the game was made because of such a successful era in the comics.
Definitely.
And what I will say that I love and appreciate is that this game did not touch any of that stuff. This
wow.
game is all about all these other colorful villains in the Spider-Man universe. But I love that it didn't touch any of, yeah, Venom or any of that stuff. Because that should get its own
yeah.
game. Don't shoehorn that into the fucking final act of some, you know.
Or like yeah. Spider-Man 3, shoehorn Venom.
Yeah, no, but in all honesty, that's a good thing. I think that's a good, I think, great. If
hey,
they make a second
was
one,
was this game
kind of
sponsored by Coffee Bean?
What?
Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned Coffee Bean.
It
huh,
must be a paid advertisement.
Okay, so in this game, I've been playing, I probably logged like 4 or 5 hours on it. I have only done backpacks and landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've done like the museum mission, which is like mission 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is backpacks and landmarks. And one of the backpacks yeah. I found was an application to the Coffee Bean.
I got that too.
And Peter goes, oh, my application to the Coffee Bean. I never turned it in, but maybe I should have. I'm probably making more money than I do at the lab now. Okay. And so I didn't think much about it. But then days later, I was in my car and I was thinking like, so is it like canon now that Peter Parker was going to work at Coffee Bean? Like
alternate universe.
Did Coffee Bean work that in there?
That might be what it's called in like that universe.
Really?
It might have already had that name, but I couldn't.
Oh, so it's not the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf? Like
no.
Okay. Okay.
I think that might be it, Derek. I think that was called that in the comic.
Hey, if so, big up, because I was seriously like crazy. I was thinking like, well, the only Coffee Bean near me is Parkway Plaza. Like, I'm thinking about where to go.
Maybe apply there too.
Because fucking marketing works, you know, product
yeah.
placement. It like got to me.
Speaking of calling out something that is an existing product, I got a big laugh because I was doing something in the game today where there was a computer that had all this futuristic shit.
Yeah.
And they were on the same page as me with the joke that I would have written there, but you know they couldn't actually say it. He looks at this computer and he goes, wow, this is just like that movie with the solving the future crime. What was it? I didn't kill my wife. Wait, no, that was a different movie. Anyway, I thought that was really funny. I know he wanted to make a joke about how everyone says every futuristic computer is about Minority Report.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it every day. But the fact that they call that out, yeah. That was funny.
The Fugitive.
Even though I've only been collecting backpacks, like I said, the writing that I've experienced is really clever.
Yeah, it's great.
You say Game of the Year. I've heard a lot of people say Game of the Year. What else is contender for Game of the Year?
I mean, there's the titles that haven't come out yet. There's like God of War, which already came out, and then Red Dead Redemption 2, which comes out next month.
That ain't topping that for me.
What else, though?
For me, but that's the only thing that could.
Those are the only two on my horizon.
Yeah, really, all I've heard of this year is like God of War.
For me, that's the best game I've played this year is God of War.
Yeah, God of War would have been mine if not for Spider-Man.
But I feel like Red Dead is looking to top that. I'm pretty hyped about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's crazy, because Red Dead 1 is like one of my favorite games of the past generation.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to have free time to play Red Dead 2 until like December, but I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think on the horizon that would have any, for me, any chance of being a better game this year. Yeah, otherwise I would have said God of War probably. We just put up on our Patreon a God of War play, like we played God of War together and kind of like revisited it and talked about that.
I played it.
That's on our Patreon.
You can see me play a game. Yeah. And I'm good.
Tearing it up as Kratos, getting those parries in.
WPS,
the well-played stream.
Hell yeah.
I was going to say other Game of the Year contender, Marble It Up, which comes out September 29th.
Exactly. So you got a good point.
Switch. I'm going to have to get Switch
Mario
online.
Was Mario Odyssey 2018?
That was last year.
End of last year.
Yeah. End of 2017. Yeah.
There, you know, I can't, this year, I can't think of a ton of big, like, tentpole games.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I felt like I was playing good shit all year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was either playing, they put this game on Switch. Oh, awesome. I'm gonna revisit that. I felt like I was always playing good shit every day of this year. But I can only think of, like, a few new games that were, like, tentpole big.
Yeah. Most of the stuff I played was old.
Yeah.
Or just not good. I played a lot of Metal Gear Survive.
I feel like, in culture, we've hit this weird saturation point where there's been so much good stuff for so long. It's
dude,
all kind of running. Like, I can't tell, like, was this released this year, last year, three years ago? Is it coming out next month?
Yeah.
It's all fucking blending together.
It doesn't matter because I've collected it for the last 10 and hardly had a chance to scratch the surface.
Yeah. The game I played most this year, I put 100 hours in Persona 5 this year. Yeah. It came out April last year. There's so much.
I'm playing GTA 5 now. It's great.
I was playing GTA 5 earlier this year too.
I'm having a fucking blast.
And like I mentioned last podcast, I downloaded The Witcher, but I haven't even started.
Yeah.
I was just like, I know that's just going to take over my life.
We did.
It turned you into the bitcher.
We did have this crescendo for like the last 3 years of, I think, this generation of consoles where there's been so many good titles or perfect releases of other stuff. Like HD, complete releases with all the DLC included.
It's so weird because outside of video games, just getting back to society and the saturation point thing, like when it comes to music, I find it so interesting how we have such unlimited access to music now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More so than any other time in history. I listen to music from my parents' generation, and I'm more well-informed about their generation's music than they are, which kind of blows my mind. Like,
that's true.
I my dad will play music, and I'll be like, oh, have you heard this? Have you heard this? He won't have any idea what I'm talking about. I'll be like, dude, you lived through it.
Yeah.
Like, how am I finding these bands when you have like a 40-year head start on me?
But he had to have a brother or someone to show him, hey, this is this other cool band.
I kind of just trip out on kind of the access to content that we have now.
Because it ain't just music either.
No, it's everything. But that's a perfect example of how we can relate to our parents and clearly see like, oh, I've like way surpassed your knowledge just because I'm on the internet.
I'm still, when I, you know, my my mom's birthday was last weekend, and she wanted to go. She wanted to have a family trip to Disneyland, and it always cracks me up because my dad was there like the week, like within a year of it opening. My dad was there, so he has all these stories about it opening, and he's like, "Yeah, just think, you know, they had a Wells Fargo wagon right here, and I'm the one going. No, it wasn't right there. It
was actually, oh my it was god! Over there.
Yeah, this was actually a workshop until after the World's Fair, they turned it into the Opera House, and then they okay. You know, it's like there's so much access to that stuff. And the best, actually, you said you had a good example. I think the best example we already said on an earlier podcast, which is. We've all definitely seen more boobs than our ancestors.
Yeah. Well, all of them combined.
Like that, really combined. Yeah.
Definitely. So that's the height of humanity, as I consider.
That's the benchmark of technology.
I mean, it's got to be in the thousands. You know, individual boobs? Thousands.
I think, I have the internet. My dad had a little bit of the internet, had magazines. His dad, magazines, some
8mm
snuff photos. That's my grandpa. But then you go my great grandpa, my great great grandpa,
cave paintings.
My great 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 grandpa. We're talking. Okay, you go back 5 generations. My ancestor maybe saw one pair of boobs in his whole life, maybe not.
That's sad.
And that what a time to be alive. I'm just so grateful to be a member of the 2018 club. Yep. And that's not the year I live in. That's the number of boobs I've seen in the past 2018. In the past day.
Individual.
You know what cracks me up, too, areolas. Is also when things kind of have a perspective that doesn't make so much sense.
Yeah.
Which is like my dad, like that new Paul McCartney album we talked about. We talked about it last week, but
yeah, it charted.
Yeah, it did. And my dad was like, "I found the record everywhere and had to hunt down the CD." It's like, whoa, like it's, you know what I mean?
We've come full circle.
Yeah, that's funny? Weird.
Yeah, but
anyway. I find it really funny that the old guy is looking for a CD. Where are the CDs?
Oh my god! Everyone
remembers a compact disc.
They only have the record.
What? Oh my god! It's inverse.
It is crazy looking at physical album sales because there's digital album sales and there's streaming on all the services. But it's crazy if you really look at the physical charts how it's like how CDs were. For the past 20 years, I've been here, and now it's like vinyl is over here, and now it's like they sell so many copies on vinyl. But it's like
I wonder when that falls out.
I don't know. Well, but you
10 years
because we all see now that we're old enough, we see the cyclical pattern of things.
But I think,
but that's got to come soon.
What I think it is for a lot of people though is it getting a big ass album is an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they all have a digital code. Yeah. Like, hey, here they are. Put it on your phone. Bam, you got the MP3s. So then you're just left with this awesome, like, oh, it might have a book inside. It might has all this artwork. Like, my dad showed me that Paul McCartney album, and it's like paintings that Paul McCartney did, and they fold out, and they, you know, when you get the CD, it's like, all right, thanks. I have my disc now. Yeah. You know, it's
plus,
like.
I really think that everything is so wireless, pairs up, syncs with everything that. What's funny is that it's kind of lost the magic just being digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And records, the magic has kind of come back to that because it's such a niche thing. Just like, hey, this is like a piece of plastic. And you put a needle on it. The song is trapped in. It just comes out.
Yeah.
There's no processing of the data. There's no convert. It just works. Analog stuff is now becoming more magical than digital stuff.
Yeah.
Just because it's rarer.
But it also puts a hold on the audience because, like, if you're listening to something digital, you can skip a track. Like,
It's disposable.
Yeah,
kind of.
The record, it's like, oh, let's listen to it as an experience. I'm going to put it on and not touch it for 30 minutes while I work or whatever.
Yeah. And Jack White talked about it in an interview recently. They asked him, like, you know, kind of, what do you think about the music industry right now? What's your take? And he said, it's exactly where I wanted it to be. And they're like, really? Isn't it like kind of in shambles a little bit? And he's like, well, it's hard for musicians to make a living. I guess that is not a desirable situation. I wish everyone who does music could make a living out of it. But in terms of how we get it, he said, you have streaming in your car, vinyl record at home. That is all I ever wanted. You know, because he's like, a lot of people think, you know, oh, you're anti-technology. It's like, no, he's like, this is him saying this. He's like, when I'm out, it's so convenient. It's convenient having everything on my phone in my car. He's like, I have a Tesla and I have all my music, 10,000 songs on a phone, and it's so convenient. But at home, you get the best record player you can, you put it on the thing, and you put, it's an experience, you know? And it's like, I think that's cool, you know? It's two different experiences. You can have both, you know? So I think that's kind of cool. The one thing I will say that I kind of don't understand, this is just me, is that there's been a real resurgence in cassettes and the tapes. And I understand it in the sense of it being fun to collect it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like sound quality,
well, it's not about that. Yeah, it's about the charm.
Yeah,
it's
it might be novelty. Like as a fun thing, I could get behind that.
But. I've been playing a lot of tapes on the PPS in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the last like month or so, because I got a Soundgarden cassette when we came back from PAX.
Yeah.
And then we got sent some cassettes in our PO box.
Mm-hmm. I think with the cassette, what's cool is the durability. You can kind of kick them around.
Like
you
know,
they're in case. A CD can get scratched. A record can get warped.
Cassette's perfect kids'
very,
music device,
very
you know?
Durable, very, you know,
but
resilient.
I'm having fun with them. And yeah, quality's a little diminished, but especially. I don't know, the nostalgia of, playing something analog that, like, I think that's cool that these cassettes come out. Again, low price point, too. Like, even in that store, in the airport, you're going to have markup, like, and especially in the airport. It was $8.
There really is, the most charming thing is not everybody can do it. So when a song is streamed, it's so easy, you hit play, you have the song. If it's on a cassette, do you have a cassette player? Do you have batteries? Do you have the cassette? And you have to go through this process to earn the reward, and then that makes it just that much more special than, you know, the 85% of the population that's too lazy.
Yeah.
There's that whole element to everything we're talking about. The extra effort makes it more special.
And obviously, I understand that aspect of it because, like, we put out a VHS tape.
Exactly.
And I thought that was a really fun experience to try to find a VCR to play that and all that stuff. But I guess I'm more referring to with the audio cassettes. I guess I'm more referring to. I know some people who are just like, "That's my music collection. I'm collecting tapes." And I was just like,
"That's."
I think it's more. I think it's more cool as a special experience. Yeah.
That person's looking for attention.
Yeah, but that person is craving approval.
The cassettes that I had gotten recently all came with the same thing that records do, that download code. Yeah. So right there is your lossless version of the audio. And then at a low price point, like under $10 for an album, pretty cool. Especially lo-fi type music, like heavy metal, like some grungy metal or like... just, you know, lo-fi acoustic type stuff. Yeah. Yeah, probably sounds cooler on cassette.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it depends on the material, too. Because I will say this, and I had this thought. It was a couple years ago. I think I was working on, like, our Time is Running Out Blu-ray or something like that at our old studio. And somebody hooked up a VHS. It might have been when you were doing POS TV or something.
Yeah.
But there was a VCR hooked up to a TV. And while there were days going by where I was just like rendering videos and I would sit and have to wait. So I would put on VHS tapes just to watch as a distraction while I'm doing stuff, you know, because it was just kind of a lot of mindless work. And I came out of that watching all different kinds of movies and I thought to myself, you know, whenever I put a horror movie on, it's kind of creepier on tape.
It really is.
You
good.
Know, it was like the aesthetic of, like, when I put on The Shining, even, it was like, I was more creeped out watching this on a tape than at home. I have a Blu-ray and it's crystal clear. And it was kind of like, I don't know, I kind of liked it on the tape.
A small
like,
TV with the tape,
And so I can understand that there's some music maybe that does have an angle on a cassette. Maybe there, you know, certain music is like kind of cool.
Isn't it funny
on a tape?
How like old is inherently scary?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because you're saying that about The Shining on VHS, and immediately I just think to myself, well, an old house is scarier than a new house. But then it just
an old creepy barn.
But just I think in general, everything just like old people,
old dead forest,
are scary to young children. Like just old equals scary.
Ancient. Is
oh,
just
dude,
old milk.
Humans.
Ancient is even scarier because that's
that's like monstrous.
It's humans' inherent fear of death. That is slowly looming over them.
Hey, I think you're absolutely right, but to the point where a horror movie is scarier on VHS, and I really think it's just primal, this is old. Like, this is a little bit haunted.
Yeah.
What am I watching?
Something from the past.
Something left over, you know? Old equals scary. I think we've cracked the code.
More money equals better than.
And old equals scary.
Hey, on the subject of the music industry, I wanted to bring up something connected to it. Normally at this point in the show, actually usually earlier, but it's okay. We got away from ourselves. We do, you know, some plugs and stuff like that. We're going to plug some Mega 64 stuff in a minute. We'll get to that. But right now, I wanted to talk about our good friends, the Aquabats. I'm sporting their
symbol
right there. Our good friends, the Aquabats. They are a band that we have,
said it all. One more is there.
Enough said.
Good night. Superhero band.
They are a superhero band of rogue warriors. And if you know Mega 64, we've been using their music in some of our stuff from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Literally, the first thing we ever uploaded had their song, Sequence Erase, in it. And we used it kind of as our theme song for our public access show and stuff like that. Anyway, the Aquabats has been an integral...
Hey, nobody knows this, but just so involved in my life personally. Yeah. The first concert I ever went to, I was 16 years old, it was the Aquabats.
Yeah.
At a venue that's no longer available here in San Diego. It was called The Scene. It closed down years ago. I remember being 16, kind of nervous, like, I don't know what a concert's like. Like, what's it going to be like in there? What do I expect? And it was the Aquabats.
Yeah.
Which is so one fun. Of the best concert experiences, like, for your first concert ever. They're, hey, who are the youngest children in the audience? Come up here. All right, put them on these inflatable animals. Let's race them across the crowd.
It was like, are you really doing that?
What an introduction to, like, what a concert could be.
For me, I'm going to say top. Now, I want to talk about a specific thing, but now it's just going to become favorite Aquabats moments. So that's okay. The next hour, we're committed to that. That's fine. No, I'm talking top five moments maybe of my life. Was I never was into music, and then in high school I discovered the Aquabats because people backstage during our plays would play them, and the song that everyone would play and. We would always sing along in the guys' dressing room getting ready for the shows was Giant Robot Birdhead. They have a song, you can look it up, Giant Robot Birdhead by the Aquabats. And that was just, when high school ended, that was the song I look back on as like my song of my whole high school experience was that song. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. It was just this, you know, and so it was really special to me. Well, after high school... I think I was at the same show. We were at the same show. It was towards the end of high school for me. And we went to that Aquabat show. And I remember thinking, I would just die if they played that song. And then we waited. And then they came. I just remember being at that show with all my friends. And I was so happy. And they came out and opened with that song. That was like the happiest moment of my life. I was just like, this couldn't be more special. You know what I mean? Still one of the best shows I've ever been to. Of course, they had many great shows after that, too. But that was special for that reason. Anyway.
One more story. This is a fast one.
Yeah.
I've also seen the Aquabats more than any other band in my life. I've probably seen them like 15, 20 times. Maybe the second or third time we saw them together at Soma. Mm-hmm. And we saw Crash.
Yeah.
In the... parking lot after the show.
Yeah. Out of costume. Which was weird to me.
Yeah, and I remember we said, oh, we're huge fans. I think we got an autograph even.
Yeah.
Maybe. He was drinking a Diet Coke, and I remember he left. He goes, all right, well, glad you liked the show. See you later. He got in his car, and he drove away. And I remember, Rocco, you turned around, and you just went, wow, Crash McLarson drinks Diet Coke. I'm going to start drinking Diet Coke. That was so funny to me. But that was your reaction to the whole interaction.
He's the first influencer.
We love the Aquabats.
Dude.
Yeah, he was. He was the most powerful
food influencer.
Well, anyway, the reason I'm bringing them up is they... So we've had their music in our stuff for years. And then when it came time to... Well, they got a TV show a few years back. The Aquabats Super Show was on TV. We kind of returned, you know, they let us use their music. We kind of returned the favor. We did a bunch of segments for the TV show.
Yeah.
And that ruled. Yeah. And that was one of the biggest honors. Again, I'm just speaking for myself, of my professional career was when we would go to their concerts, they would play fake toy commercials.
Yeah, totally.
In their concerts. So, I mean, that was always an inspiration to me, even for Mega 64 and the shorts that we did. So when they got their show picked up, they reached out to us and said, would you know, those fake toy commercials we used to do, would you like to do them for our new show?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, is this really happening? Like full circle. Like, this is the, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. So we did. We did. We didn't do all of the toy commercials in the original seasons. By the end, we were kind of doing them all.
We did the best ones.
Yeah, but we did do the best ones. I think it's safe to say. Anyway, we had a great time doing those.
And they were, worst one.
Yeah.
Because we did the one that was banned from television.
Oh yeah. We did, yeah.
Oh. So, Alpha and Omega.
The one we showed
Hidden,
a panel?
Hidden Temple Garage Playset was banned because they thought kids might get crushed by a garage door. Yeah. Anyway, but that's beside
the point. Some have seen it.
So we did all of those. They were all by Gloopy. They were Gloopy toy commercials. Anyway, the show, the network kind of like shifted and the show wasn't on anymore. The Aquabats have been trying to bring back their show for a long time. And just this last month, they announced a Kickstarter where they're going to do new kind of shorts on their website and on YouTube and bring back the show in a new form online and we'll see where else it ends up.
And maybe it could potentially get picked up.
Yeah, like, it's actually it's basically just to develop new episodes.
Netflix, Amazon, they're always snatching up these shows.
Yeah.
You never know.
So we have offered to, you know, they reached out to us like, if this goes forward, you want to do the Gloopy toy commercials again? And absolutely, we said yes. We are super, super excited to say we are hopefully going to be part of it. In fact, people watching this live tonight, you got to wait, but if you're watching this on YouTube, it's already up. But you might be seeing a new Gloopy commercial from us very, very
Damn.
Shortly.
Yeah, we served them up one early because we were so excited to help out the team. It's a new product, new Gloopy commercial for a new toy called Lil Veggie Annihilator. So keep an eye out for that.
Any kid is going to want that, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to be involved in the Aquabats Super Show.
But it's more than just a Gloopy commercial.
Yeah.
Because if the show does, if the Kickstarter is successful, the show gets picked up. I mean, is it a guarantee that we will be involved in the show at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be. I think. I mean,
what do they have going on? They have like a special buddy system, or what do they call Secret Buddy?
Secret Buddy.
What I wanted to tell everybody about is if you wanted to check out what the Aquabats are doing, and maybe you contributed to their Kickstarter, or maybe you want to go to theaquabats.com/mega64. Because they set up a special page where you can contribute whatever you want, however much you want, as little as you want, or whatever you feel comfortable with. But anyway, if you want to contribute to it, they have a page set up where you can actually enter in a chance to win. You can like join in with us when we film our next Gloopy commercial or work with the Aquabats on, you know, some upcoming stuff for their show.
Wow.
So if you've ever wanted to like be around when we film something, you have a chance to do that. So check out theaquabats.com/mega64 and they set that up. And I think even if you've already pitched in or whatever, at some point you're going to get an email where you can like pick,
switch over.
I want to be on, you know, team Mega 64,
you know,
and you can.
The Aquabats are so well connected. They have so many friends in Hollywood. They're trying to get this show and this Kickstarter to be successful by involving the people that they know that kind of have a fan base. So the Secret Buddy system is like, yo, if you're a big fan of, I don't know who's in there.
They got Tony Hawk.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of Tony Hawk, if you want to see Tony Hawk involved in the Aquabats Super Show, join Team Tony Hawk. And when we film with Tony, everybody on that team could come out to the shoot. We'll make you background extras.
Yeah.
They put us in that program. So it's like Tony Hawk and Mega 64.
Damn.
The two of us. Who are you going to pick?
Yeah.
Who could do a better 900?
Me. Well, Tony Hawk, but
you haven't seen.
We haven't seen. Sean's not here. He could be practicing.
I want to see Tony Hawk put on the Tetris costume and do what I do.
Exactly.
It's not that easy.
Exactly.
And Frank's beat all his games, so that's I think we're way better.
Tony Hawk. Hey, the point is, it's a really cool opportunity. If you want to help get Mega 64 more involved in the Aquabat Super Show, you can have a direct effect on that. Theaquabats.com/mega64. Check them out.
Yeah, check it out. And they didn't pay us to say any of this or set this up or anything. We didn't get a thin red dime.
Yeah.
We just want to be involved in the show.
Yeah, and you know
what? Love it.
Frankly, we're going to be doing those Gloopy commercials one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is more about if you want to be involved in the Gloopy commercials.
True. Yeah, and get like more episodes of their show and all kinds of stuff. That's, you know.
Yeah,
that's
we're going to be doing them. We're the Gloopy guys at this point.
Yeah.
Who else are they going to get?
We're Gloopy boys.
But if you want to be on set for the next Gloopy commercial, check it out, and maybe we can make it happen.
Yeah. They already funded, I want to say too, they already funded a new album. So like, we're already getting a new Aquabats album.
Yeah.
I'm stoked
about that. That was one of the stretch goals.
Isn't it like the first one in a decade?
No, they did one 7 years ago.
Oh, so almost.
Almost eight, though.
This will be a live album, right?
No, it'll be like a new
album. A new studio album? Yeah. Oh, wow.
But they recorded their like crazy three-hour El Rey show. They did like two huge fundraising shows in El Rey. They did the Fury anniversary show, and then they're like live at El Rey thing. They recorded both for like a future release.
That's okay. That's what I saw.
The Aquabats are rising again.
Dude.
Maybe we'll get another Cadet Summit.
Somebody who doesn't have to rise again because they never fell, Mega 64.
Boom.
True. Yeah.
And I want to give everybody out there an update on our Patreon. You know, we hit a couple of stretch goals a while ago. We hit version 4. We hit the book. I just want everybody out there to know we are making excellent progress on both of those things. We haven't forgotten about it.
Hell
so
yeah. You got to update the people because they want to know.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know. You know, it's coming along. We're still filming.
They get antsy.
We're still filming. Some people at RTX maybe saw a sneak peek of version 4
a little bit.
At PAX. But more importantly, what nobody has gotten an update on is the Mega 64 book, the tell-all story of all the behind-the-scenes action here at Mega 64. Yeah. Photos, individual perspectives. It's going to be crazy. We just moved into our editing phase for the book, so we've collected basically all of our life stories, and now we're trying to compile this into one document that could be consumed by everybody out there. So that's the latest on it. We're still working on it. We'll have more updates soon, but just keeping you all informed.
I tweeted something the other day that was about a rejected commercial we were asked to do for an oil company.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, I remember
that. We pitched
that.
An idea about Dale Earnhardt coming back to life and like doing cool stunts or something. I expected this oil company to be like, no, shame on you, no. And they didn't. They just said, well, we found another group that could do this cheaper. Which we didn't even ask for. Hey, they're an oil company. We didn't ask them for that much.
Yeah,
honestly.
Really?
Honestly.
We kept making that joke. You're an oil company.
But they kind of sent like a nasty email back that like someone could do this cheaper. And it was like, oh, okay.
Sure can.
And it never got made. So anyway, I tweeted that just on a whim. And somebody responded like, I just want the book to be stuff like this.
Oh,
and I was like,
yeah.
Well, you're going to like this book.
You are.
Because it's got stuff like that. So anyway, lots of behind the scenes and lots of shit like that. Just, you know.
You're going to get the full story. I didn't hold anything back, frankly. It's all interpersonal drama.
Damn. It's a tell-all.
It's a fucking tell-all book. Shit in there about personal life experience, stuff that has never been talked about anywhere else. It's in the book. Well, it's in the current form of the book. Maybe it'll get edited out. When I wrote it, there was some stuff in there I was like, you know, I don't know if I should write this. This might make me look bad. This might cause a fight between other – like maybe other people say like, Derek, you shouldn't be saying this stuff. But I figured I'm going to write it. And then if we edit it and decide, hey, we'll take it out, you know, if it's too edgy, whatever. The point is – I put it all in there. If it's going to be in the final version or not, I can't say.
We can't edit it
out.
But
if you could read the rough cut.
Not the good stuff.
You would get all the kibbles and bits, all the little pieces.
Do you think, Rocco, is it slanderous? You might have to edit
some of
there.
No, it's not slanderous. It's not slanderous.
Maybe to me.
All I'm saying is we've known each other a long time. It isn't all sunshine and rainbows. So hopefully the book will be out soon.
I can't wait to hear what Sean has to say. He's not here, and let me just say, I didn't spare him.
I think Sean actually...
I didn't spare him at all.
So here's the thing. I feel like I have a voice as a writer to where I could... Like, I don't think Sean's going to say anything mean. I don't necessarily say anything mean, but I'll just tell the truth. You know, maybe I was upset at the time about certain issues.
Okay.
Like, I think Sean's, whatever Sean, I haven't read what Sean wrote, but I think it's going to be very, like, PC. I don't think he's going to say anything.
You don't think he's going to ruffle any tail feathers?
No, I don't think Sean's going to bring out the claws. I bring him out a little bit.
Wow.
I talk about, in some of the stuff that's in there now, I talk about, like,
getting hot.
Things I was upset about back then that now I'm like, what was that all about? And then like, not regrets, but kind of like, you know, like, shouldn't have been that done this instead of that. You know, I don't know. Just things like that.
Yeah, you'll have to read it. Yeah. The way I feel, though, is like we're in such a good place now. I could talk about all this stuff. And,
exactly.
And I don't have to feel bad or because how it all ended up, it ended up good. So here's the story, for better or for worse.
No, I'll tell you what Sean's parts are going to be. Incorrect.
Remembered
I was hearing him record. Like, he was like...
We were at Comic-Con. We probably left about 5:30.
Nope.
It's going to be, I remember quitting my job in 2012, and it was great. Nope, that wasn't the year that...
Yeah.
A lot of dates.
Or it's going to be, we met this guy from 1UP, don't remember his name, so moving on.
One of the things that I've heard him, like, because there's parts that he vocally recorded for the book, just to, like, transcribe.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing him bring up about how bad it was when IGN fired us, and it was like... No, we were happy. They didn't fire us. We left. We didn't. We had a different gig that was better, and we did that. And it was like
a mutual breakup.
Yeah, it was just like no one was mad, and no one was fired.
Like, he remembers it.
Right. This is exciting. It's like Rashomon.
You know what?
Yeah.
I like this now.
And I don't want to talk too much about the book because it's not out yet. So I don't.
You don't want to give a secret away.
Yeah, but to me, one of the most interesting things, and I've just fucking experienced this conversationally, just being on the podcast. We'll talk about a story. You guys will say something sometime, and I'll just think, like, that's not how I remember it happening. And the book is our opportunity to get each perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe Sean says we were fired from IGN, and Rocco says we quit IGN. You know what? You can read all the perspectives, and you make it up for yourself. You pick who you believe.
I think that's the perfect example, because it will show you the other perspectives and then the right one.
Yeah.
Well, you do have a steel trap.
We weren't fired
for dates and facts like that.
When I
so
was in high school, I go with you. SNL put out a book, and it was like a oral history of SNL, and people were just talking about their memories, and they would contradict each other. But to me, that was the most interesting part. Will Ferrell says this was the inspiration for this joke, but Sherry O'Terry says it was this, it's like, you know, I would just ponder, like, you know, I wonder what it really is. And I like that better than everybody, like, yes, we agree. We all have our facts straight.
Yeah.
This is the story, and we're sticking to it. I think it's more real. And
well, on Mark Maron's podcast, he interviews every single SNL alumni, what it was like auditioning for Lorne Michaels, and everyone's story is radically different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, those details are interesting. So.
Totally. That's what made the Beatles anthology so good. I mean, we talk about that all the time, where it was like, you know, there was 30,000 people there. Well, you know, there was
Shea Stadium.
Over 60,000 people. Of course. Well, you know, 70,000 people. You know, that's a lot of people. You know, no, when we were sober back then, we weren't thinking about that. Oh, that album, Grass, definitely inspired by Grass. Smoked a lot back then. You know, so it was hilarious. I loved it for that reason, and so you'll probably get a little bit of that in the book.
You'll get the same thing with our book. Anyway, so...
Just don't forget who has better memories than others. That's all I'm going to say.
I think that... you have gaslit the population to think you have a steel trap memory, but when the book comes out, you will find out your memory is not as good as you think.
It's not gaslighting. It's purely saying Sean's memory sucks. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. Okay.
That's, you know, I know I'm sounding how I'm sounding, but don't take my memory.
You have evidence, though. You have years.
But take it as more law than Sean's. That's all I'm saying.
You have years of remember offs to point to back you up, Rocco.
No, but
I don't think you're off base.
On the last member off, we started asking him questions,
and I got them all right.
And he didn't remember the answers.
I do remember turning the tables.
Every question wrong.
History is written by the victor.
I wasn't in the contestant mode. I wasn't in the mode. Sorry.
No, we're never in the mode.
And finally, last thing about the book, it's all possible because you support us on Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/Mega64. Check it out. We have new prizes, rewards, whatever you want to call them, coming out in just a few weeks. Badass stuff. It really makes everything we do possible. So thank you to our patrons.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there'll be some new update stuff on that Patreon very soon. Keep an eye out on there. And some more like convention panels we did. A whole bunch of stuff is coming there.
We're at the top of the hour. Let's end it, and then we'll just continue in the after show. No,
I wanted to ask you specifically about something that happened this week.
Well, the most important thing for all the gamers out there is Sony announced the PlayStation Classic
Yeah, that's what it was.
Go off my rocket ship about it. I got a lot of important things to say. They put Tekken 3 on there. That's one of my favorite games. They got Wild Arms. Whole lots of games. But you can't put CDs in it. It's just digital only. It's going to be locked to 20 games, but they put the original controller. No DualShock. Yeah. Hot debate.
I bet the third-party company will step in with a wireless DualShock.
Well, it's got USB ports
yep.
for the controller. So, I mean, come on. You can.
We're getting analog, baby. We're getting analog.
But I have to say, I was
How much is it?
It's going to be $99.
Yeah.
How much is a refurbished PS1?
Probably like...
$40 with tax and
$25 at the swap meet.
But it's not little and cute with all the games.
It is cute. It's got the 20 built in.
Oh boy!
But have they announced all of them?
Just the five games. They have to scramble to figure out the other. I bet it's gonna be like NBA Live 98, NBA Live 99.
Because if they don't have
Operation Desert Strike,
if they don't have
Army Men 2, Army Men 3, five good games and the rest are totally.
Wild Arms is impressive because I've never even come across. That disc in the wild.
Yeah, Wild Arms is awesome. That's an RPG that I still know a lot of people who haven't played, and it's a good RPG.
I bought like the PS
Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah, I put the PS I bought the PS Classic version of it on PS3 for like $4.
Super bust a move.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Root Beer Tapper.
I was actually happy to see that it has the old controllers because I feel like
it's a classic.
I feel like in what other context now would you ever have that controller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that really transports you back to the PS1 experience, the original.
Yeah.
You know, and I know there's some games that you want it. I know, you know, Ape Escape, you needed the DualShock. So that is kind of painful to not have that. But I think as an experience, I like having the old controller. I think that's neat.
I mean, the thing's called the PS1 or PlayStation Classic. Yeah. So I get why it came. I'm glad it came with two. I mean, mm-hmm. the big thing for me with the... I only have the NES Classic.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me when playing with that is the multiplayer. It's me and my girlfriend sitting playing together. I never play a thing by itself.
I'll tell you what three games I could put on there that would be an instant sell for me.
For you talking PlayStation Classic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one I know is not going to be on there because it requires a peripheral.
Right.
Time Crisis.
That makes sense.
With the gun con?
Yeah.
But again, it's USB.
Wait, I had Time Crisis.
The gun con has a USB.
On
the
PS1. One, yeah.
I fucking loved it.
There was like a bonus cruise ship level that was exclusive to the Discord.
Number two. Destruction Derby. Baby.
Yes.
Okay.
I love Destruction Derby. Okay. Destruction Derby 2 would be even better, but if we're talking
Vigilante 8.
If we're talking about sequels, this is the game that has to be on there. If this game isn't on there, no buy. No sell.
Wow, no kidding.
This is required for the PlayStation Classic. Cool Borders 2.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yagi. Okay.
If it doesn't have Cool Borders 2, then what the F are we doing?
You need that.
For me, the requirements, they already got one. FF7. Final Fantasy 7.
I was impressed.
You had to have that. And I'm sure
you had to.
That probably cost them an arm and a leg, the license.
That's why I was impressed.
Because they don't own it.
Yeah.
But it had to. So I appreciate that. But my others would be, and this is a gimme, it's going to be on there. Parappa. It's got to be on there.
Okay.
Parappa, yeah, because it's a Sony first party.
I don't personally like the original Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
But that is PlayStation iconic.
That's true.
That should be on there.
That's true.
Crash Bandicoot should be on there.
Gran Turismo.
I wonder, because Crash Bandicoot just got the HD re-release, if they will...
Like, Activision owns it now.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what'll happen.
Metal Gear
Solid. But the other one for me, though, what would have been a gimme for me, and they already announced it, if I could pick one fighting game, it would have been Tekken 3, and that's on
there. That's on there.
So I'm stoked about that. So yeah, I'm in. I'm totally...
My two big ones are the ones that I don't know if they could get, which would be... It'd be insane if they already have Final Fantasy VII, if they then get Resident Evil 1 and Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
But
I think they'll get. I think those will be on there.
Really?
I think they will.
Metal Gear Solid are good chances.
Man, I mean,
those are iconic to that system.
But like, gosh, you're really getting a lot for $99. Yeah. You're getting RE1, you're getting Metal Gear.
But those games are 20 years old.
Yeah, but
they can still
get
money for them.
Yeah, they still
get digital.
And there's 20 of them, you know. What I was going to say, I think it's highly unlikely because they already put Final Fantasy VII, and there's only 20 games, so you can't have a lot of Final Fantasy on there. It's probably best they just keep it to 7. My personal wish would be that they put 8 because the Switch is not getting 8. There isn't like a great remaster or whatever of 8, So if Sony had it, that would be kind of the only modern way to play it, and I would love that. But I know it won't be on there. So that would be my wish. Umjammer Lammy probably won't be on there, but I would like that too.
Dude, I bought like a brand new copy of Umjammer Lammy off Amazon for like $10.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I still have my PS3 Fat, the classic that plays PS1 games. Too. So I still buy physical PS1
games. Oh, yeah.
But like, in turn, like, yeah, I'm happy. So for top three for me, like, there's like definitive iconic, my favorite games of all time is like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, but you can't get the licensing music. That's not going to be on there.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 1, if that's on there, that's cool.
I think it will be.
So like, Resident Evil. Metal Gear's great, but Siphon Filter for me as a kid was so like definitive. That's such a weird game. And then, yeah, number three, it goes to Tekken 3. Like, that's already on there.
Yeah, but Tekken 3 was so... I played that forever.
Did anyone say Twisted Metal 2?
No, I feel like they should have a Twisted Metal.
There has to be a Twisted Metal.
Or Legacy of Kane.
Oh,
Legacy
know.
Of Kane. Oh, that'd be...
Soul but Reader? I think Twisted Metal, that's first party. I think that's a given.
Yeah,
I think
okay. Yeah, first party given. Stuff, you're right. Is like, they don't have to spend...
Siphon Filter was 989 Studios.
There you go.
Who now... Oh yeah, there's like an upcoming like zombie game for PlayStation which keeps getting delayed indefinitely, but that's what they're working on now.
989.
Oh, is
Do you remember PlayStation had this game Loaded and Reloaded? I feel like you would have played this. It was a top-down.
That does sound familiar.
It was almost like Geometry Wars, top-down like shooter. You would just use the directional buttons to like you're trying to escape from jail. I think you're a clown with a machine gun or something. It was like a very
they
popular
were like
game
crazy.
In the late 90s. I remember everybody was like, yo, I love Loaded. But it's a franchise nobody remembers anymore. Yeah. Hey, put Loaded and Reloaded
what the
on the
fuck
PlayStation
this game
Classic.
Looks sick.
Hey,
Loaded.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it this Friday on the last game standing. Yeah, all right, sure.
It's like a forgotten gem from the
Loaded.
PlayStation era. Yeah.
And then there was a sequel called Reloaded.
Yes, and again, taking it back to the beginning of what we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, everything had a fucking Uzi in the 90s.
Yeah.
Everything was like, just fucking shoot him.
Loaded.
And Loaded was the epitome of that.
That looks sick.
It's a game that here's a gun, go.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm going to try that out.
Yeah, you definitely want to. And as people are saying in the chat, this thing, if it truly does have USB ports all over it, like they say.
We're going to hack the shit
this
out
thing's,
of
that. This thing's hacked. Anyway, I wanted to ask real quick. What were you
saying? Before you move off of mini consoles, you know, Derek, you've talked about you hacked your mini NES.
Yeah, and put, I think like, Sean did the Super NES.
And put everything on it. Yeah. And I was always kind of like, nah, I just got this thing.
It's so easy.
I want to keep – I know it's easy, and I would have fun doing it even if it were complex, but – I like this stock factory thing. I have it just like my old one and everything else. But now I'm starting to have thoughts of doing it because Nintendo Switch enacted their $20 a month online payment.
Yeah.
You get...
Well, $20 a year.
$20 a year. Sorry. Not
Might
a month.
As well be.
You get for free... All of those games on the mini NES?
Yeah. All
those
the old NES games are
all
free.
All of those are free on your Switch now.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, oh, wait... I had
no, nothing
all those,
to lose.
But yeah, really. I mean, fuck. I just have everything still now on my Switch. So
real quick. When I did it, and I'm speaking theoretically, if I did it,
OJ
true.
Style,
of
course.
Yeah.
I was nervous all the way up until it was done. The minute I plugged it in and all the games were there, it was like, fuck yes, best decision I ever made. Like the
sick.
Residual like satisfaction so far greatly outweighed any hesitation I had at the beginning. It was so worth it.
Yeah.
Like, just so fucking worth it.
Well, I have them all emulated, like I probably said before. I got them all on my PSP too.
Yeah.
But I did, and I did kind of want to like collect that little mini console.
You know,
but now that they're all on the Switch, I kind of thought like, well, you kind of devalued it.
What I really liked too, what you would enjoy was I just got a big thing. Hey, 600 games. Here's a big list of them. I went through that list and I was like, there's a couple that are missing from my personal list that I need to have. So I spent maybe half hour just tracking down the 10 games that weren't included in the thing I downloaded.
Get those ROMs.
That I had to have. Like Super Dodgeball. River City Ransom. The game's just like, hey, if I don't have these, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And I feel like you curating your own personal list of my must-have games, you would have fun with.
One of these days, that'll happen.
Anyway, did anybody has anybody here tried that Nintendo Online thing?
No.
Nobody?
No. I haven't been playing.
Kevin? I don't know if Sean did. I don't think he did. So I got that the day it came out.
Yeah.
And I was stoked to try it. Now, I will say... It was cool. I was like, wow, there are a lot of NES games on here. And The online play thing was cool. Like, I played with Justin Windham, who's in, like, one of our older videos.
Oh, yeah.
Hadn't seen him in a long time. And he was online, and he jumped in. You could play single player, but you could also play in a mode that leaves yourself online so that people on your friends list can jump in. Like, hey, do you mind if I jump in?
Like, okay. Arcade mode or something.
And they are basically just docked in at player two.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
So you load up any NES game, and they're watching you. Like, they can watch you do all the menu stuff, and you go to player two, and they're just in as controller two.
Wow, that's sick.
And so we played... I have to say, I already expressed on previous shows that, like, I wish there were more systems. I wish there was a little more, you know, it wasn't just these kind of NES games, these kind of, like, novelty NES games. But, you know, the online play made it a lot of fun. We played River City Ransom. We played that ice hockey game.
That's the greatest.
That was online. Game, yeah. Like, we played that together.
That's sick.
You know, we took turns playing Super Mario Brothers. You know, just the player one, player two taking turns. We did that. We played NES baseball. Balloon Fight was a lot of fun.
Oh, I love that game.
But, you know, I have to say, they were all fun. We played them all.
You did
night,
it.
That night.
You did all 20.
I played for hours.
That's how I felt.
And then we were like, I think that's all of them.
That's how I felt on the first weekend of my classic.
You know, that's how the, you know. And that's
how I feel with all these little consoles.
Yeah.
I love the NES. Now, Super NES, again, has Final Fantasy.
Those games are a little bit medium.
Yeah, those. I'm still playing those games. It's been like a year since that
Super
came out.
Super Metroid was a fun experience. I'm worth still the price of admission.
And I'm still playing all that stuff. But the NES, it just isn't like that, you know? And I really wish I would pay more to have more stuff. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. We played Dr. Mario online.
Yeah.
The Yoshi puzzle game was a lot of fun online. And we did all that. But again, then it was like 12:30 at night. And we were like, I think that's all of them. Yeah. All right. You know, so I just really hope they kick into overdrive with some more stuff. That's
make,
all.
Make but, new but, NES games.
But what was there? Yeah, dude. But what was there was cool. And again, like, I got them on a portable now. Most of them I don't need to play that much, but I'm playing through Mario 3 just on my Switch now, and I take it anywhere. It's cool. I just wish other systems were on
but
there.
Don't you That's feel all. Now that, because you were in the camp of keeping your NES Classic stock.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, man, I should just box this thing and put it back on the shelf at this point, because all of those games are on the Switch.
But not all of them are on there.
It's not all?
No, because honestly,
I thought it was literally all of those games.
You know what my routine... This is going to sound weird, but no, not all of them, and I could tell you.
I knew you were the one to ask.
I have a morning routine. This is my morning routine. I
take a shit. It starts taking a shit.
Yep. Oh, that's it. Wait, what were we talking about? No. I keep the NES Classic in my room, and I wake up, and I play Bubble Bobble.
Oh, that's fun.
All right, I'll start my day. Bubble Bobble isn't on there.
Okay.
So, no, I'm still...
Yeah. You're still... Okay.
Lately... You reminded me. Did you
have that's it.
Lately, anybody who watched the podcast last week might have picked up on this. I've been watching Dog the Bounty Hunter lately.
Are they on the ice, bruh?
No ice in paradise. for whatever reason, discovered Dog the Bounty Hunter and fell in love with it. I always had this misconception about like what I thought Dog was. Like, oh, fucking redneck. Fuck that guy. But then when I watched it, I was like, oh, this guy actually is nothing like I imagined he was. It's very interesting to me. But I love how Dog has this giant can of mace, like
it's
hairspray style
huge.
Can of mace. And I was like, yo, I want to get a can of mace like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I went to the gun store here in San Diego. And I was like, sup, dude behind the counter? How's it going? First of all, I had to wait in line because the guy in front of me was like this dude. Who's just like this kind of... There's nothing weird about this guy except he was just so clearly like into guns and he was buying a gun. And he had like flip-flops on and he had the grossest toenails. Oh. And for whatever reason, I'm looking at this guy, I'm seeing the gun in his hand, and then I'm looking at his toenails. And the toenails and the gun are just freaking me the fuck out. Because I'm just thinking like, this guy can't even take care of his fucking toes properly. And now he has a gun. But whatever. He leaves. It's up. I'm up to bat. Hey, I'm here. I wanted to get some mace. And the guy's like, oh, okay. Yeah, we got this mace right here. I don't know who this is for, but maybe you want the lipstick mace. So here's a lipstick mace and the regular mace. They're like this big. And I'm like, oh, cool. I know that sometimes you can get a bigger can of mace, like a hairspray can of mace. Do you guys carry that? And suddenly, like, the vibe in the room changes.
Yeah.
The guy's like, he's like, actually, those are illegal. And then he kind of like steps back and like walks away from me a little bit. And
whoa.
I'm like, are the fucking cops going to come and arrest me? Like, why are you not very so
friendly?
Weird? Yeah. So I'm like just going along with like, oh, I didn't know. I don't know anything. That's why I'm here at the gun store. You're letting me know. Yeah. I didn't know that. And then he comes up and he explains to me and he's like, well, yeah, I mean, the logic would be, you know, it's who needs that much mace,
right?
Like, if somebody did something wrong and you're going to mace them, like, how bad do you need to mace them? It gets cruel and unusual. It's a little bit excessive to hit somebody with that much mace. And I'm just thinking, like, you sell guns. Like, I just saw you give a guy a gun.
Yeah, but it's cruel and unusual.
We debate? Like, if I'd rather get shot in the face with a shit ton of mace.
You need to go to a sporting goods store.
Thing in this whole store.
Go to a hunting store and tell them that you're afraid of bears.
Yeah. So my search continues. I'm gonna get the biggest can of mace I can get, and I'm not getting this little thing. It's gotta be
Turner's.
This big.
There's a company. There's a gun company. Well, you didn't have good luck at the gun store.
No.
All right, maybe hunting or like sporting.
Well, I told Derek that reaction the dude gave him, that sounds like the reaction of someone who has them behind the counter and won't tell you.
Everybody I've said the story to.
He's got them in the back.
Everybody I said the story to is like he probably had some under the counter.
In Persona 5, you have to increase your friendship level with the gun store owner and then he sells you the good
shit. I really think there might be something to that because the guy came back.
You weren't a regular.
I was like, the big cans, he's like, those are illegal.
You should have flashed a couple hundreds.
And then he came back. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I don't know when they changed the law, but they changed the law a little recently, so they lowered the size requirements. So you can't get those anymore." And later on, I was thinking, like, "Yeah, he totally had some."
Yeah. maybe you are just like a couple months late though, or something, and he's like fucking freaking out.
I don't know, but I really thought like cruel and unusual. Like, you sell fucking guns here. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Just kill me. I don't want to suffer with my eyes.
That's true.
Ouch.
Hey.
Ooh, ouch, Johnny, my eyes.
Johnny Knoxville said that.
Can you imagine the guy that I shoot with the giant can of mace? He's like, what the fuck?
Just kill me,
Why
bro.
Why didn't you just hit me with a shotgun? Seriously. This sucks.
Put me out of my misery. This is cruel.
Johnny Knoxville talked about that. He's like, still out of anything in Jackass, the worst was pepper spray.
Yeah.
He's like, I was shot, you know, he was shot with a shotgun with the beanbag in it and all that stuff. And he's like, I'll take all those before I get pepper sprayed again. Fuck that.
Weren't you on 90210?
I wanted to say the line was, aren't you the guy in Blink-182? No, but that's Kenny Rogers Jackass. That's different.
Different.
I'm back, catch a trick with my teeth. Anyway.
Man, no mace.
That probably hit Kevin all the way over there.
Yeah. Kevin needs some mace. All right. Well,
anyway.
We're sufficiently over.
We are way over, and I just want to float this idea.
Keep going. Yeah.
I think this week Frank was going to edit the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that we are
half
an hour over, Sean has to edit this
podcast. Yeah.
I'm down.
Hey, Monday morning, Sean sits at his desk and sees that runtime.
Woo.
Hey, and
that's
gonna be that is Sean. Chatfield footage. Anyway, I just want to say before we close our show, I want to give we can promote ourselves a little bit.
Oh yeah,
I just want to give a shout out. Shop.mega64.com has incredible. Everybody's asking for a Joker update in the chat.
It was last week.
There was new footage this week. Go watch the footage. Go watch the footage.
It was so lame.
It wasn't even worth the...
DC needs to pay us for all the promos.
Yeah. You know what? We will do a Joker update.
When it's worth it.
We will do a Joker update when it's worth it. When someone gets mailed a condom.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone dies.
Yeah.
The next actor who's dead, who dies from this, will definitely be updating. But
we don't want to promote a new trailer.
So, yeah.
We don't do that.
Jared Leto is out as the Joker. Do you think he's like starting to think, maybe I went too far? Like, he did all that extra shit.
Because I don't think he's out. I think he's going to... I think you'll see him again.
You think there's a
tie-in?
Because Suicide Squad made $1 billion, even though everyone hated it.
There's going to be a Harley Quinn movie with him in it.
And I think he's still going to be in that.
Okay,
well,
we'll see how it... Then I guess there are many more Joker updates.
Right? Both Jokers in the same movie.
Oh, don't even.
I think that's going to happen.
Don't.
Mark my word. I think that's going to happen.
Don't even.
Right now, just think. You know, I remember when Lincoln, that movie Lincoln with that Spielberg did, was about to come out.
Yeah.
I remember somebody saying, just think right now, Daniel Day-Lewis is somewhere in a cabin somewhere acting like Lincoln.
Yeah.
Really, you know, because he's so method. And I'm saying, right now, somewhere in the world, Jared Leto is filling up condoms. Get the envelope!
Shit.
Wait till they get a load of me.
So anyway,
wait till they get a load of my loads.
Wait till they get a load.
In plural.
The, in the mail.
Here comes one funny load. Joke load.
This joke's loaded.
Oh, come.
Knock, knock.
All right.
Who's there? My load.
Wait. I'm a fan of just wait till they get a load. Just on its own. Enough said. In some moments in life, there are no words. Shakespeare. Anyway, all right.
Two loads walk into a bar. One turns to the other and says, let's blow this joint.
Let's smoke. Let's come. Oh, is this my jizz?
Hello, Batman.
I've used a condom. Would you like to hold it?
Tales of the Bat.
We're doing kind of a Mark Hamill Joker.
Yeah.
You could also do Nicholson. Well, I guess I'll just have to jizz in a condom and mail it to you.
Maestro!
You can do Cesar Romero. Come!
Brian gets the Joker back there.
That was Cesar Romero as the Joker.
Old school, dude. You went...
Come, Batman!
Come, m'lady. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Shop.mega64.com.
Oh, yeah, we were doing
is
something.
The place to go for fantastic merchandise, sick threads, cool vids.
Yeah.
Anything you want online to purchase, it's going to be in the store. Shop.mega64.com. Friday, September 28th, we're going to put up the electric hat. I have one here. The electric hat, which is... awesome new snapback that we had. We had it at PAX, but those are going to go on sale Friday, September 28th. And also, people have been asking for this for a long time, our new pins that we made this summer. The neon pin and the archive pin, these both sold out over the summer. So we actually had to make some more before they went on sale online. But these... are really like some of my favorite things we ever made. Like, I think they looked so classic.
They came out really good.
Yeah, they turned out amazing. So anyway, both of those are coming out Friday, September 28th, so keep an eye out. I also want to give a shout out to Mega 64 Game Days, our event that we're doing in November.
You gotta.
November 10th and 11th in Anaheim, California, we're doing our big event that we do every year. Game Days, day one is our own kind of mini convention event. And day two, we all go to Disneyland. So, you know, all together, it's going to be the best weekend of your damn life. Every year it is. And so we're going to have tickets for our day one event are on sale. Mega64.com/gamedays. Pick up your tickets. We already announced one of our guests. ProZD is coming this year. That dude does some funny-ass shit sketches.
He does the
skit.
On
Twitter. He does short skits on Twitter and YouTube. Well, anywhere you could post them. He's actually like a legit funny dude, so we're happy to have him at our show. But...
everybody knows about him.
Let's announce a new guest.
Let's do it.
I said last week Game Days would be like a better Coachella, and we're going to deliver because we got a musical act. Sorry, Beyonce. Sorry, Jimmy Eat World, or whoever plays at Coachella.
Too bad.
We got DJ Doug Pound. That's right. Legendary DJ Doug Pound.
In the mix.
Is going to be... I hope you're ready for the remix. Because DJ Doug Pound is not only a proficient DJ, and is going to play a set that's going to blow your socks off. He's also...
we're going to go behind the music.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He is also a proficient and... incredible
public speaker.
Incredibly influential editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He edited most of like Tim and Eric's stuff.
Yeah.
Like back in the day with Awesome Show and all that stuff. He is the editor behind most of that stuff. And then he has his own series. You know, he has Two Wet Crew.
Give me some Poo Poo Blast.
Poundhouse and the Poundcast, all that stuff. He has made some of my favorite stuff that has ever existed online or on TV or whatever. So that this has always been a dream guest.
This is huge. Yeah.
We've been trying to get him for a while.
And so this, I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm blown away. I'm going to try not to fanboy out at the event. But we're all really excited. DJ Doug Pound is going to be at our show, Game Days. So if you haven't already, get your tickets, mega64.com/gamedays.
Plus, you know, we're always talking about this day one event, Pro ZD, DJ Doug Pound, us. It's going to be awesome. Disneyland. Disneyland with
day
the
two.
Crew here.
Exactly.
And not only is it Disneyland, but it's like Disneyland New Game Plus Disneyland.
Exactly.
Because we have, we're the Disneyland pimps, okay? When you go with us, it's not like, oh, I'm just going with the family. You're going with the Disneyland pimps.
Lest we forget.
We get special treatment.
Exactly.
Yep.
We have the insider connections. We organize special group events that you would never get to do on your own or with your own group of friends. But you can do it at Game Days because you're part of the Mega 64 Club. So, you know, let's not forget that Day 2 is its own special event in and of itself. It's not just a regular trip to the park. It's Game Days, baby.
Exactly.
You don't want to miss it. It's going to be the best Game Days we've ever done.
Definitely.
It's our best.
They always get better.
Lineup. We're going back to Disneyland after taking a break for a while, so we're going to be fresh on the park. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets. Ticket prices are going to continue to rise, so get them soon so you can save some money, and we'll see you there.
Anyway, that just about does it. We're almost at an hour 40 podcast.
Nice.
You know, we could spring for the two.
Let's push it to two.
Do the two.
I can vamp for 20.
I just don't see any way Sean can't edit this.
Yeah, he can do it.
He can definitely do it.
I just like that he's not here to kind of interrupt us and stop us from going on.
Exactly.
Brian and I just started watching David Simon's The Deuce on HBO. Just a quick plug. It's awesome. I really like it. It takes place in 70s New York. It's about the birth of the porn industry and the legalization of prostitution in New York in 70s New York. It has the pimps, the prostitutes, the cops. You have the mafia in a bar where everyone converges. It's really good. I really like
it. This is an HBO series?
Yeah, The Deuce. Season 1 is 8 episodes. I think it takes place in like 1971 or 73. Season 2 is now airing. It time jumps to like 78, and then they confirmed the third and last season is going to take place in the 80s.
Huh.
So this whole fucking era.
Is this like a Scorsese produced thing?
No. That was Vinyl, which is also 70s.
Yeah, I started Vinyl. I didn't really like it.
But this is David Simon who did The Wire, and like The Wire is like the densest and like one of the best TV shows of all time. This is a little bit more flashier and like outwardly entertaining than The Wire. I mean, it's prostitutes, so you got titties and bops everywhere. It's really good. Jared will like it. But yeah, check out The Deuce. I really, really like it. Anyways, I gotta edit that little plug. Oh no, Sean gets to edit that plug about David Simon.
Yeah.
Check out The Wire too.
Let's think of some kind of awesome thing that Sean could edit to, like a cool... Like, we'll call this part of the show the wrap-up.
Yeah, wrapping it up.
And have it be, like, a cool thing where maybe it's, like, we're getting wrapped up in a burrito or something.
Or should it be, like, a hip-hop theme? Like, rap.
Oh, yeah.
Backwards hat.
But then at the end, the W falls in. Like, it's not wrap-up. It's wrap-up.
Sean, animate me.
Sean, edit this whole thing.
Animate me in, like, those coveralls, but undo one of the straps and have it hanging down.
Sean's just going to cut all this, and then he's going to be like, oh, I cut it. We're going to ask him on next week, like, how was it editing the extra hour? Oh, I cut that.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, fuck.
Thanks, guys. I cut that. Thanks.
Oh, I cut that so fast. That's classic.
Do you think
Sean.
When we see Sean tomorrow, he'll use the words fucking nightmare at any point?
Yes. To describe his past or his future?
I mean, I don't know. Brian's wager is yes.
Last week, it really was an eye-opening moment for me. We realized that Sean can't not say the word fuck when a camera is on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True to his word, Sean said he wouldn't say fuck this week on the podcast. There's no Sean this week. So that's the only way he couldn't say fuck on the podcast.
It was really like...
He was trying not to do it?
I never realized that he can't not say the F word.
Wow.
Maybe it's like because he has like four kids and a family, he has to be clean constantly. So then when he comes here with the boys,
he likes to vent.
Loose, baby.
Yeah.
It's just, pay attention. Next time you talk to him, it's impossible.
Code switching.
Well, sometimes when I listen back to the PPS, I get like embarrassed at how foul my language is. Yeah. But I'm also like, I'm vamping for time sometimes, and you know you fill with likes and ums and fucks.
Maybe that's what it is with him.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's part of your. It becomes part of your improv routine. Yeah. And around here, we don't have to hold that back.
No.
Typically, so.
Interesting though. Sean is
Give me a topic to talk about. I'll give you an example of how Sean would describe it.
Oh, Mega Man is coming out, and some people are upset they took out some features.
So, Mega Man's coming out. I don't fucking know why people are fucking upset.
Wait, put the glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'll get the headache. Oh, in poor Sean. This is what happens when I don't come last week.
I don't know why people are upset. It's fucking Mega Man. It's a fucking game. But then I tried to play it, and my fucking kids, who are always, like, fucking doing fucking shit, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I'm in the kitchen trying to make fucking dinner for them, and they're like, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing, and I just fucking quit. I gave it all up.
It's a little Dennis Leary, too. It's good. Sean's...
Wait.
That was my Sean impression.
Go for me.
Tell me how I did.
I think you were missing one thing.
Okay.
Film me, and you'll see it. Get a wide shot.
You need the costume?
Yeah, put on the costume.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Sean, where are my six shades at?
He's got them.
All right, cool. And now me, Rocco Bodie, I give you the final act of the Sean impression. Wait, you got to go a little wider. Can you go a little wider, Kevin? Get the one. You want to see the table here too?
Get some of the table.
Hey, ready? Thank you.
Do you know what that's from?
Isn't it from House of Cards?
Hey, we're really throwing Sean.
No, he knocks with a ring in House of Cards.
Yeah, but what? Sean started watching House of Cards, and then he started doing this Kevin Spacey knock, and I don't even know if he realized he stole it from Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
It might be one of those subconscious
things. A composite
thing,
yeah.
Yeah, but he does do the House of Cards knock like, let's get it done.
Well, it's like when he's done with dinner, he goes like...
That's like, do you want a hit playing blackjack? I'm holding me.
Easy peasy.
He's a cardman.
What's Easy Peasy from? Because he won't let that go either. Easy Peasy. Where is
that? My grandfather? I don't know. That's old school.
God, I'm so fucking
squeezy.
Tired of them.
I'm in squeezy.
Man, I want Sean to plan my birthday this next year. Like my 2019 birthday?
2019? No, my 2019 birthday.
Yeah, this year's 2018.
Your 20th 19th.
So I already celebrated back in January, but my 2019 birthday, and maybe a. Put him to the task of planning, hosting. Does he give presents to these kids?
I don't think he plans. I don't think he plans or hosts. I think he's just there. I think he suffers.
Damn.
Yeah.
Might be fun though. Maybe 70 kids around. Oh. Kids are joyful.
Oh. I just cracked the code. Hold on.
What's that?
Sean fucking loves these parties. He loves not coming to work. He fucking loves partying all September. And if we knew how much he loved it, we would not let him do it. So he pretends like it's a fucking chore.
Right? Why don't we get invited?
Oh, partying all September. Such a fucking nightmare. Sorry, I can't come to work any weekend this month, you guys. I have to party. Ooh.
We cracked it because hey, if I talked about juice, hey, I'm gonna miss this podcast because I'm gonna do something fun like play Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you'd be like, ew,
what the
asshole?
Fuck?
Yeah, you can't do
but
that.
But if I act like, hey, I have to play Spider-Man because my doctor says I have to,
and I hate
then
it,
you would sympathize.
Yeah.
That's the party's plan.
And it makes so much sense. Remember, he used to always give us those invitations and then forget them on his desk? Jenny'd be like, why didn't you come to the party? Or Sean didn't give you the invitation? Oh, he must have left it on his desk. And we'd find him in the trash can later.
Yes.
He doesn't invite us to these parties because he doesn't want us to know how much fun they are.
Oh, my God.
And then his wife's even trying to get us there. He's losing the invitations.
I'm actually pissed off right now.
Should we end it?
I'm pissed off right now.
And drive over to his... I know where he lives. We could crash this party. Who? The kids are what? Like 10?
We should take the camera.
Yeah, they're still going. Let's crash their party.
Live camera. Let's go film all those little fucking kids.
Yeah.
See how they like it now.
Jump in that fucking jumper. I'll jump around in that magic castle myself.
What's up? You're famous now, little kid.
Put you on blast, little kid.
Blame Sean, little kid.
You want to know why we're here?
I'm calling him.
Right. You want to know why we're here?
I know how it's going.
Ask Daddy Chatfield.
We're FaceTiming Sean.
Get a mic up on that.
Hey, microphone, Rich.
This will be good.
Just wait for him to answer.
Hello?
Hey, we're still live.
Hey, we're still live.
Okay.
I'm just curious how it's going.
You want
to...
Hi.
Yeah. Okay, are the kids raging?
Looks like you're having a good time.
It doesn't look...
Oh my god! Oh my god! No. That looks like it would take like 10 minutes to clean up.
What? Hey, Sean, when?
What?
When?
So,
we're just talking about the cleanup.
I don't even see a party.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Seems like party's over.
Should be here. You can clean that up later.
Yeah, I wish.
You wearing a Superman shirt?
Yeah, it's a Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
You don't even like DC.
It's Supergirl.
See?
Honestly.
This fucking doesn't even know.
Wow.
Was it fun?
Yep. It was good.
I knew it.
Yeah, see?
We knew you were having fun over there.
Yeah,
you...
We were curious.
Whoa!
Who's that?
We're curious why we're not invited to these super fun parties anymore. We used to.
But never showed up.
Well, someone always lost the invitations. We always used to find the invitations lying around someone's desk a month later.
Yeah.
I can't imagine who that would be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we really are still live. We never ended it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... I'm not going to say drive over and be on the show like, you know, the rest of us, but, you know, that's...
We also decided that you should edit this episode.
Okay. I would love to.
Hey, Sean.
What?
I don't want to say too much because you'll watch it for yourself. But okay. we're not in the after show yet.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to give you a heads up about tomorrow.
That's what I'm getting at.
All I'm saying is check the clock and that's enough information.
But if you want to end the show right now, you can because you're
on
camera.
It's up to you because we have decided you are going to edit it. So it's up to you if we should go.
Yeah, you're the boss, buddy.
Good night.